Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. Singer R. Kelly sentenced to 30 years in federal prison for child sex trafficking. Several of his accusers facing him in court, the judge calling his abuse calculated and carefully planned for 25 years. Stephanie Ramos standing by. Also developing tonight, the new statement just in tonight from Cassidy Hutchinson, the 26-year-old White House aide who testified before the nation yesterday. What she's saying tonight after her bombshell testimony. Also tonight, a source close to the Secret Service now confirming former President Trump got into the motorcade and wanted to go to the Capitol on January 6th and was irate when they refused. And tonight, the committee now urging other witnesses to come forward and a key figure they would like to hear from. Mary Bruce with late reporting. The war in Ukraine and tonight, NATO's largest expansion in decades. President Biden and NATO leaders formally inviting Finland and Sweden to join the alliance. And tonight, the U.S. now increasing military commitments in Europe, including a permanent presence now in Poland. Vladimir Putin is responding tonight. Cecilia Vega traveling with the president. We're also learning about the two American veterans captured while fighting for Ukraine. Tonight, Russian state TV releasing new video, both Americans appearing to be prompted to make certain statements. And what one of the families back here at home is now saying about the State Department, what they're being told about negotiations for their release. Also back here at home tonight, the death toll climbing in what is already the deadliest migrant smuggling incident ever here in the U.S. What authorities are now saying about the suspected driver. Severe weather and the fires tonight, the images just coming in from the west at this hour. And what we're now watching as the holiday weekend nears. Three tropical systems, one in the Gulf already. It will be felt in the U.S. Rob Marciano timing it all out. The frightening scene at Yellowstone, the visitor gored by a bison. We do have late news on Pfizer boosters, the government's new purchase tonight to get boosters ready for this fall. And tonight here, stay tuned, we pay tribute to an American hero.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a very busy Wednesday night. Tonight, new fallout after that bombshell testimony, the young woman who testified before the nation 24 hours ago about January 6th. Tonight, her new statement just in. But we do begin tonight with singer R. Kelly, sentenced to 30 years behind bars after his conviction on racketeering and sex trafficking charges. Prosecutors accused him of leading a criminal enterprise of managers, bodyguards, and other employees to recruit and abuse women, underage girls, and a teenage boy. Accusations swirled around him for decades, and authorities believe for years his actions were protected by his fame. Then in 2019, in the TV docuseries Surviving R. Kelly, a number of alleged victims came forward to publicly accuse him of abuse. Arrests followed on charges in Illinois and in federal court. Kelly held without bail for nearly 3 years now. At today's sentencing, several accusers confronted the former superstar, the judge calling his abuse calculated and carefully planned for 25 years. ABC's Stephanie Ramos leading us off tonight.
After decades of sexual misconduct allegations, tonight a federal judge in Brooklyn sentenced singer and convicted sexual predator R. Kelly to 30 years in prison.
This is a significant outcome for all victims of R. Kelly, and especially for the survivors who so bravely testified about the horrific and sadistic abuse they endured.
The one-time music superstar faced life behind bars after a jury found him guilty in federal court on one count of racketeering and eight counts of sex trafficking. The trial lasting nearly 6 weeks, with close to 50 witnesses testifying against Kelly, more than half of them alleging abuse, several represented by Gloria Allred.
You've called R. Kelly the worst perpetrator that you've pursued. Why is that?
He recruited fans of his, targeted them, intimidated them, indoctrinated them, threatened them, sexually assaulted them.
Federal authorities looking into the years of accusations after the explosive Lifetime docuseries Surviving R. Kelly, in which dozens of accusers alleged the singer had abused them. Kelly did not testify at his trial. Tonight, one of Kelly's accusers, relieved.
I never thought that I would be here to see him be held accountable for the atrocious things that he did to children.
And the legal fight for R. Kelly isn't over. His lawyers say he didn't speak during the hearing today because he still has a pending case in Illinois. His lawyers also say they plan to appeal his verdict today right here in Brooklyn. David.
Stephanie Ramos leading us off here on this Wednesday night. Steph, thank you. We turn next tonight to new fallout after that bombshell testimony before the nation. The 26-year-old former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson before the country a little more than 24 hours ago. Tonight here, a new statement out on her behalf. Her lawyer issuing that statement saying Cassidy Hutchinson stands by everything she said under oath. And tonight, one of the most eye-opening pieces of testimony about that moment in the motorcade. A source close to the Secret Service now confirming that former President Trump got into the motorcade and wanted to go to the Capitol on January 6th and was irate when they refused and told him they were taking him back to the White House instead. Tonight, the committee now urging other witnesses to come forward and one key figure they would really like to hear from. Mary Bruce here with late reporting.
Tonight, shockwaves after that dramatic testimony. The former president and his team not happy, but not challenging some of the core allegations from Cassidy Hutchinson, the former top aide to Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows. That well before January 6th, Trump planned to go to the Capitol, and that on the morning of the rally, he knew some of his supporters in the crowd were armed, but he wanted security to let them in anyway.
I overheard the president say something to the effect of, you know, I don't effing care that they have weapons. They're not here to hurt me. Take the effing mags away. Let my people in. They can march to the Capitol from here.
The president then urging his supporters to march to the Capitol, though he knew some were armed. Tonight, a source close to the Secret Service confirming that after the rally, Trump wanted to be taken to the Capitol and was not happy when his protective detail refused. Hutchinson testifying what she was told about what happened.
The president said something to the effect of, I'm the effing president. Take me up to the Capitol now.
There are also remaining questions about the days leading up to the 6th, about players like Michael Flynn, the former national security advisor.
General Flynn, do you believe the violence on January 6th was justified?
Is that, can I get a clarification? Is that a moral question or are you asking a legal question?
I'm asking both.
I said.
Do you believe the violence on January 6th was justified morally?
Take the Fifth.
You believe the violence on January 6th was justified legally?
Fifth.
General Flynn, do you believe in the peaceful transition of power in the United States of America?
The Fifth.
The former president now calls Hutchinson a phony, saying he hardly knows her, even though she worked just paces from the Oval Office. The committee is urging others in the Trump White House to come forward. They want to hear from former White House counsel Pat Cipollone, who Hutchinson says was fiercely opposed to Trump going to the Capitol that day.
Mr. Cipollone said something to the effect of, please make sure we don't go up to the Capitol, Cassidy. We're going to get charged with every crime imaginable.
Tonight, Hutchinson saying she stands by every word under oath. Let's get to Mary Bruce live on the Hill. And Mary, the committee now in talks with former Trump White House counsel Pat Cipollone. What are you hearing from your sources about whether he'll testify?
Well, David, tonight we've learned that Pat Cipollone's team and the committee are still talking, but don't expect him to testify publicly as of now. What is possible, according to sources, is that Cipollone could sit for a transcribed interview with the committee. And we're hearing that a subpoena to compel him to speak is still on the table. David.
Mary Bruce, live on the Hill for us. Mary, thank you. We turn to the war in Ukraine and major news tonight, that Russian invasion now prompting historic moves at a NATO summit in Madrid. President Biden and other leaders formally inviting Finland and Sweden now to join the alliance. And President Biden increasing U.S. military commitments in Europe, including a permanent presence in Poland. Vladimir Putin responding tonight, and ABC's chief White House correspondent Cecilia Vega traveling with the president in Spain tonight.
With Russia's brutal campaign in Ukraine grinding into its fifth month, NATO today formally inviting Sweden and Finland to join the alliance in the largest expansion in decades, and the U.S. stepping up its military commitments.
We're sending an unmistakable message, in my view, and I think yours as well, that NATO is strong, united.
At the NATO summit in Madrid, President Biden announcing more military power to Europe, including the first permanent military headquarters in Poland, troops to Romania and the Baltics, two F-35 stealth fighter squadrons to the UK, and two Navy destroyers to Spain.
Article 5 is sacrosanct, and we mean it when we say an attack against one is an attack against all, every inch.
It comes as NATO puts 300,000 troops on high alert in response to Russia's war in Ukraine. Leaders adopting a new mission statement declaring Russia as the most significant and direct threat to the region's stability. Ukraine has yet to be admitted to NATO. President Volodymyr Zelensky addressing members from Kyiv today, asking for more weapons and money, and delivering this warning about the risk to Europe.
Це справжня ціль Росії.
Zelensky asking which countries will Russia come for next? Poland, Moldova, the Baltics? The answer, he warned, could be all of them.
And Vladimir Putin has actually just responded. He says he doesn't really have a problem with Finland or Sweden joining NATO, that in fact he does, though, like he does with the prospect of Ukraine joining this alliance. But tonight, David, he is delivering a warning, and he is not mincing any words. He says if NATO delivers military equipment or troops to these two countries, quote, Moscow would be forced to respond, David.
Cecilia Vega live in Spain for us tonight. Cecilia, thank you. We're also learning more tonight about those two American veterans captured while fighting for Ukraine. Russian state TV releasing new video tonight of both Americans and what one of their families back here at home is now saying the State Department has told them about negotiations for their loved one's release. Our foreign correspondent, James Longman, in Ukraine again tonight.
Tonight, Russian state TV releasing new video of Alex Druki and Andy Huyn, the two U.S. veterans fighting for Ukraine but caught by Russian proxies. Druki's family told ABC News he's now spoken with the State Department twice in recent days.
They said that he sounded good, that he sounded relatively strong.
The officials felt he was being treated humanely and that the Russian-backed separatists holding him were looking to begin negotiations. Meanwhile, the Ukrainian Ministry of Defense has released this video, the largest prisoner swap since the war began. 144 Russian troops exchanged for 144 Ukrainians, many of them badly injured. All this as Russia steps up its rocket attacks in the country. Video posted on social media shows a huge missile hitting this apartment building in Mykolaiv. It killed six people.
Alex Druki's family says the State Department told them they will not negotiate with his captors, and that's because the breakaway region they control isn't recognized by anyone as a legal entity other than Russia. David?
All right, James Longman in Ukraine again tonight. James, thank you. Back here at home tonight and to the growing horror in the deadliest human smuggling case in U.S. history. The death toll growing, and tonight what Mexican authorities are now saying about the suspected driver now in custody. Here's our chief national correspondent, Matt Gupman, in San Antonio.
The death toll from that migrant smuggling horror continues to rise tonight, up to 53. Over 60 men, women, and children in that trailer, where temperatures likely topped 150 degrees. Organ failure begins at 109 degrees.
The truck was removed from this isolated road, but what's left here is the debris from that first aid operation, the effort to try to revive those who were in that truck, and of course, some of the victims' clothes as well.
And authorities say the driver is in custody, and tonight Mexican officials releasing this picture they say shows the driver behind the wheel of that semi-truck, alleging he tried to mix in with the survivors when authorities arrived. Among them, a 23-year-old woman from Guatemala. Commissioner Rebecca Clay Flores met with her.
She said, I really need to let my mom know that I'm okay. Can I call my mom?
Amidst the pile of bodies and survivors in that trailer, first responders remembering that every one of them had a story.
I remember it was blue like an angel, the prayer card. We walked over it numerous times, and that was somebody's possession. And that was something that probably that person held on to until they lost consciousness.
That is unprecedented numbers of migrants are crossing the southwest border. 68 people apprehended yesterday in Arizona, 58 of them children. Texas Governor Greg Abbott blaming the Biden administration today, saying the federal government must do more.
The Biden administration is not enforcing the immigration laws. It's attracting people and enticing people to make this very dangerous trek, causing them to lose their lives.
But the Bexar County Sheriff, a Democrat, slamming Abbott for politicizing the tragedy, but also telling President Biden, I'm disappointed that a perceived lack of action on the part of the U.S. government has allowed the governor of my state to use this issue as one big campaign stunt. And speaking at a vigil, Jessica Azua was one of those who came to the U.S. in a tractor trailer, making the harrowing journey when she was just 14 years old.
I was lucky that I woke up and that I made it. It's really hard. And I'm so tired that we keep saying that we have been here before, that we have done this before, that we know how to respond to this. It shouldn't have to be that way.
And David, you can see that growing memorial behind me tonight. Like Jessica, there are 11 survivors from that tractor trailer, and U.S. and Mexican authorities revealing that that truck drove through a customs and border protection checkpoint just 3 hours before it was found here on the side of the road. David.
Matt Gubman in Texas again tonight. Thanks, Matt. Next this evening, the fire danger in the West. The image is coming in right now, and also three tropical systems. We're tracking one already in the Gulf. First, those late images late today, the Rices fire burning in Nevada County, California, more than 350 homes in that evacuation zone. And tonight, those three tropical systems brewing in the Atlantic. Senior meteorologist Rob Marciano is here tracking it all for us. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. Our fire weather concerns tonight are in the same spots where we have severe weather in the upper plains. Looking at South Dakota, just east of Rapid City, one of these storms had a wind gust of 90 miles per hour that watches up until 8 o'clock. All right, lots of activity in the tropics. As you mentioned, three disturbances, this one heading into the Caribbean. Our best chances for becoming a tropical storm, that one should head into Central America. The one in the northwestern Gulf of Mexico, obviously closer to home, greater concern. Whether it becomes a named storm or not, it's going to bring heavy rain to southeast Texas from Corpus Christi all the way up through Lake Charles. Now, this area could use some rain. They just don't want it all at once, not a half a foot of it. That's likely to cause some flooding. David?
Rob Marciano with us here on a Wednesday night. Thank you, Rob. We turn now to the Supreme Court tonight. Associate Justice Stephen Breyer will officially step down at noon tomorrow. In a letter to President Biden today saying, quote, "It has been my great honor to participate as a judge in the effort to maintain our Constitution and the rule of law." And at that same hour, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson will be sworn in as the 104th Associate Justice and the first black woman on the nation's highest court. ABC News will carry that historic moment live right here. In the meantime, when we come back tonight, late news this evening on Pfizer boosters for millions of Americans. Also late word on Dr. Fauci dealing with a rebound case of COVID. And then the visitor gored by a bison at Yellowstone. We'll be back.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you'd do with an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? We often find ourselves wishing for more time, but the real question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The key to squeezing that special thing into your schedule is knowing what's truly important to you and making it a priority. That's where therapy comes in. It's not just about dealing with problems, it's about finding what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you've tried therapy, you know how beneficial it can be. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's a tool for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and empowering yourself to be the best version of you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. So whether it's finding that extra hour for yourself or embarking on a journey of self-discovery, therapy can be a game changer. Take the first step with BetterHelp and make your mental health a priority. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/tonight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tonight.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight here, there is late word on a new vaccine deal between the U.S. government and Pfizer, the government paying $3.2 billion for 105 million new doses set to arrive before the start of the expected fall surge. Pfizer says if approved by the FDA, the deal will include a new vaccine updated to protect against Omicron and its subvariants. There's also news tonight about Dr. Anthony Fauci. He says he's taking a second course of Paxlovid now after experiencing rebound symptoms after the antiviral treatment when he had COVID not long ago. Dr. Fauci, who is 81, says when he first tested positive 2 weeks ago, he had very minimal symptoms. He said the rebound symptoms were actually worse, but that he now feels reasonably good. We have reported on that happening to others as well. To the index of other news, and tonight authorities are investigating a bison attack at Yellowstone National Park, the second attack in a month now. Authorities say the victim was walking with his family near Old Faithful when the bison charged. They didn't leave the area, the bison then charging a second time. The victim was injured in the arm. Tonight, park officials say he was too close to the animal. Visitors are required to stay at least 25 yards away from the bison. And the Stanley Cup taking a wrong turn before tomorrow's big celebration in Denver. Thousands expected for tomorrow's parade, celebrating, of course, the champion Colorado Avalanche. The cup, however, getting a little lost along the way, supposed to be delivered to a player's house. It went to the neighbor's house by mistake. That neighbor opening the case and getting a stunning surprise, saying it was like finding a treasure. They did get the Stanley Cup where it belonged. Funny tonight here, America Strong. We learned today America's last living Medal of Honor recipient from World War II has now died. He was an American hero. Tonight, a grateful nation paying tribute to an American hero, Marine Corporal Herschel Woody Williams, the country's last living Medal of Honor recipient from World War II, has now died. Born in Quietdale, West Virginia, Corporal Williams was the son of dairy farmers, just 21 when he fought in the Battle of Iwo Jima. On the same day that flag was raised, February 23, 1945, Corporal Williams used 6 flamethrowers to take on Japanese forces, fighting for 4 hours under tremendous enemy fire. He eventually cleared a path for American troops. He received the Medal of Honor from President Truman in 1945.
Don't ask me how I did it. I don't have any idea how I did it. You've got a job to do for which you're trained. You've got to do it for the people around you, for the other Marines, and 2 of them got killed protecting my life. This medal belongs to them. It really doesn't belong to me.
In the years that followed, Corporal Williams was an advocate for veterans and Gold Star families, making it his duty to connect with future generations. The USS Herschel Woody Williams commissioned in his honor, and Corporal Williams cheered by the crowd at Super Bowl 52 in 2018. Woody with the coin toss.
Ready to go?
Yes, sir. And it is ahead. New England, you've won the toss.
This morning, at 98 years old, surrounded by family, Corporal Williams passed away at the VA Medical Center, bearing his name in Huntington, West Virginia. Officers leading a procession. And tonight here, Corporal Williams, in his own words, on what changes when you serve your country.
They have a different concept of life. They have a different concept of service and the value of life. All of that changes as a result of being a Marine.
We salute Corporal Herschel Woody Williams tonight, an American hero. Thank you for watching. I'm David Muir from all of us here at ABC News. Good night.